And in fact, that's one of the reasons why we started this Free Speech Radio News, because we didn't stop doing our work. I mean, in fact, I mean, it's a funny thing. I feel like I'm doing just as good work for KQED, which is a, you know, pretty mainstream public radio network. But in any case, I mean, we need to fight for a good alternative to Pacifica. I think that's really important. In terms of our specific demands, the most important demand is that they restore editorial control to Pacifica News and to the stations, which Frank said he didn't have during the crisis in Berkeley. And that's, I mean, as I said, it's an outrage, but I think everybody knows why. That's a major demand. We were demanding, and we are demanding, that they restore Dan Coughlin as news director. We're demanding, you know, there are a number of less important demands, but yes, they're all negotiable. I mean, what we're asking for is a dialogue that Pacifica has refused to have with us and with any other group of people who are interested in discussing their agenda with them.
Thank you very much. Some people wrote comments instead of questions. One, I hear there's a union buster on the Pacific National Board. He has got to go right away. Thank you for your input. Also, what happened to the calendar at KPO? Oh, okay. Excuse me. Well, the person didn't ask a question. All right.
The person's talking about is a man named John Murdoch, who works for a Washington firm called Epstein Becker, which provides management with expertise in union negotiations. You can look at their website. It's Epstein Becker. Also, one of the things we're challenging is the seating of that person, as well as several others at the last board meeting.
So you agree that he can be called a union buster? Okay. He said, okay, you can call him whatever. Also, people are missing the calendar. They're calling for us to call into KPFK and a full restoration, a complete return of all of the calendars that used to inform us of progressive events. Okay.
Wait.
Oh, excuse me. Am I wrong there also? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, let's go to a question. Thank you very much. I think we get that. We're supposed to call in and demand a full return of the calendar. A specific question for Dan. Could you give us a couple specific examples of your journalistic independence and integrity under attack while at PNN and at Democracy Now? When you're trying to prepare news reports, how did this reflect itself in attempting to prepare stories?
Well, I'll give a couple of examples which are a matter of public record. The July 14th edition of Democracy Now! Is not available at the Pacifica Radio Archives. I haven't checked, actually, in a few weeks, but the last time I checked or somebody told me about it, if you call the Pacifica Radio Archives and want to pay $15 or $14.95 for that edition of Pacifica Radio of Democracy Now!, you will not be able to get it. Likewise, the July 14th edition of Democracy Now! Is not up on the website. This is a kind of falsification of history, which is not only a most blatant violation of basic journalistic norms, but is also stupid. What is going on? What kind of standard is this? What is it saying? And it's the kind of thing that lets the Washington Post write an article that calls Pacifica cowardly radio and Soviet-style journalism. It's like rubbing Trotsky out of the photographs with Stalin in the official Soviet archives. You can say there's many other examples. That's just one of them, but equally as egregious. Verna's piece, one of Verna's and Laura's piece once, was cut out of one newscast, and the newscast was presented as the work of Verna, Laura, and me, without our permission. So there was fraudulent representation of authorship. Can you imagine You go into a Barnes and Nobles and they decide they don't like chapter 8 of a particular book and they cut it out and then they just leave it and sell it. That's the kind of thing that was going on. This is a matter of public record. You can, I think it's all over, different folks are commenting on it, but there's equally, you know, more egregious examples, dozens of them throughout the network, but especially at the news. It's the kind of thing we used to face on a day-to-day basis, and it's what we fought hard against. It's what we complained about. I think Pacifica senior management knows our position on this. We've asked them to take necessary steps to restore the credibility and integrity of the news departments throughout the network, and hopefully with enlightened leadership, that will be done. It's hard to say. I don't know what the former executive director was thinking. It was two segments on the shutting down of KPFA, and it contained, I think there was four different voices from KPFA, and the former executive director got a chance to respond to all of that. So presumably they felt it was unbalanced, but even if you did feel that it was unbalanced, that doesn't mean you should wipe it out of the archives or prevent people from getting a hold of it on the web. But there's a real serious problem that's happening in Pacifica that Frank addressed, which is that why is this issue on the front cover of The Nation magazine and it is not being discussed on Pacifica's airwaves. It's just incredible, the dichotomy and the disrepute that it brings the network into.
Some questioners are asking about the technique of withholding funds for KPFK. They say, people tell me if I don't send in my pledge, we'll lose Amy Goodman. Is it good to hold money back into an escrow account? Or how does the panel feel about how people should deal with the question of financial support to the station and the network? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think that you know, there's been a lot of talk about how it's been almost impossible to move Pacifica in this whole fight. But, you know, you did see the people in Berkeley get results when 10,000 people marched in the streets there, and they pretty much got to take back control of their station. So I think that, you know, we are going to have to, or people are going to have to resort to tougher tactics. And I think that that's basically the only thing that is going to hurt them, to the point where, you know, they're going to force, or they're going to be forced to engage in some kind of negotiation. That's my opinion.
KPFK management worships the bottom line. They had their most successful fund drive ever recently, and with that, it just falls right in again with the 5-year strategic plan. More money. From the sources that I have seen and documents that I've seen, is that there's no increase in listenership. So it is from the Pacifica National Board meeting recently, there was an info pack, the audience rating, and also the numbers of subscribers, the number is stagnant, yet the money is increasing. So essentially what they've done is gone upscale with the same amount or even less people giving, but they're giving more. So with that, again, they're patting themselves on the back. We're doing great. We're a fringe group out here. We don't know what we're talking about. And they're making more money. So again, it goes along with the 5-year strategic plan. And yes, something has to be done in terms of that. The pledge on hold, I think it's very fair. I think it's an understatement. I think people should all sign that to let Pacifica Radio know, no, you're not going to get this in terms of until we see something better in terms of what you're supposed to be about.
Well, the question to the collective is, how was it advertised? I know it was heavily advertised on the webpage. John, go ahead.
As one of the organizers, we did a mail out to over close to 500 people that we had on lists. We had also emails to several listservs and individuals that had sent it out. So it was all over the country and the world regarding this. So we did as what we could. We're an ad hoc committee, and about 10 people It was in LA Weekly, it was in New Times, it was in The Nation, also City News Service, La Opinion, several places. Suggesting a direct action or something. As we organize in the future, and it's not threats, but I mean, we have to go beyond standing outside and doing things, and it has to get militant, and it's going to have to get into direct action and civil disobedience with it. I heard when we had our Pacifica, we had against Pacifica their last fund drive, the demonstration on January 31st against Mark Cooper's hit piece against Mumia Abu-Jamal. I didn't see it, but I heard someone that did get inside that they had an armed security guard. So I don't know what, you know, the mentality is within inside the station, where there were some rabid people that have to be, you know, they have to protect themselves from us. But they just don't get it in terms of what's going on. I mean, the national board's looking to sell the thing. They've gutted what was left of an attempt at community radio. There's no apprentice program there. Yet the station still gets $10,000 plus a year from the California Arts Council. With the Adelson lawsuit, is possibly in the future we can open the books as something that, you know, where we can actually expose Shove and other people. So, you know, things do have to be done. We have to get more militant with it.
Right, and you may recall that Mary Frances Berry was scheduled to speak at a university in Riverside. The mobilization around that was massive here in Southern California, and she did not appear. She actually called in sick or something. I mean, I actually believe that the pressure on her appearing in that kind of atmosphere where hundreds of demonstrators would be denouncing her policies to Pacifica actually forced her cancellation. That brings up two things. One, be sure you register out in the lobby, put down name, address, phone number, email, everything, because the committee that's formed to mobilize around this issue will be back in touch with you if they can be. Pardon me? Oh, Mary Frances Berry, right, the outgoing chair. Also, we're going a little longer on the basis that some in the audience will help us stack up the chairs when we actually, you know, end this in a little while. Let's see. Okay. Well, this question, I'm just taking them kind of as they come. Is there any chance here at KPFK that, like, strong mass pressure could put on the air programs like Larry Bensky's program? The idea here is, how can people, what effect will mass mobilization have on actually changing the programming at KPFK? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I want to say that I think that pressure really does work. You know, one of the things is that when I got kicked out of the station and Ruben Tapia and Enfoque Latino got kicked off the air, it didn't really take that. It didn't take that much. You know, we had a big meeting where I guess there was probably like 80 people, and Mark Shubb and Kathy Lowe attended uninvited, and I think they were pretty shaken up by it. And, you know, after that, they sought us out. So, I mean, I think that it worked well, and that people should get together and think about where they want to put the pressure and what they want to demand.
Any other comments on that? Okay, some of the questions are, I'm just going to read this one. It says, programming must not be controlled by the program director and or the station manager. How can a program committee be democratically elected or chosen to oversee and protect Pacifica's mission? Is that workable? Maybe Frank Stoll should be in on this. The questioner is asking about community control of programming. Right. That is to say, programming controlled by community involvement.
Well, I mean, I'll go out on a limb here. I think that, as I think Dan would confirm, if you're involved in programming on a daily or weekly or even, you know, minute-to-minute basis, the buck does have to stop somewhere. I mean, I think that it isn't wrong to have a program director, frankly, that has some responsibility over, you know, who has the final word over who gets on and who gets off the air. The problem is the structure in which that individual operates. There has to be that person has to be accountable to someone. So when we talk, we have to be realistic about what we mean by collective decision-making. You can't just have, you know, a committee deciding what goes on, like you can't have a committee writing an article in a paper. You do have to have accountability for the person that makes those decisions and some process by which that person can hear the reaction of the community if he or she consistently does stuff that the community disagrees with, and there has to be some way to remove that person in a democratic kind of way. But I don't think, I mean, we get ridiculed when we sound like we want every decision to be made by a collective. It's not viable in a newsroom. So there's a middle ground somewhere. And again, I think these are the interesting discussions I wish we could be having instead of these kind of either or, you're in the door, you're out the door fights. Because those we're not getting anywhere, and we're not getting any useful information about how we can do this better in the future.
Which exists in some parts of the country, I believe. Pabu, other stations, the station in Portland, other stations have their locally advised, you know, their local advisory boards voted on and democratically elected. There are lots of different models that we could all be discussing and hearing about, but for whatever reason, we're not.
In fact, that does raise the issue of the panel addressing. Many of the questions are kind of very generic. It's difficult because they're asking, how can we be empowered as listeners? How can we do something? How can we get organized? One crucial omission, this writer, one crucial omission in the presentations today is where we are going to get the power to initiate the changes needed in Pacifica and KPFK. It's one thing to agree on the changes we want, but quite another matter where our power is going to come from to institute these changes. And many, many of the questions, that's why I'm having a little trouble. They're asking, what do we do? How do we move forward? How do we reclaim the mission statement and the original, vision of KPFK?
Regarding a collective decision with Radio Clandestina Micro Radio in East LA, we meet as a collective regularly and have to discuss in terms of programming policy. We don't have a program director, and it gets very tense in terms of that. What is hate radio and what is historically justified anger by a group against another group? So those kinds of things have to happen, and they're ongoing, and they're not solved. So we're living it in terms of attempting to deal with it. What you said right now, Don, in terms of what listeners can do, I don't know it that well, but there's information out on the table regarding the Spooner lawsuit, and an element of the Spooner lawsuit deals with listener sponsorship and empowerment or direct influence that you have. So check out the Spooner lawsuit that's out there, and it's something like, I believe, the campaign to remove the Pacifica National Board. So check that one out. I might say that the local advisory board is doing something extremely, I think, powerful and positive. They're bringing in speakers from communities who are addressing the board about the lack of voice of people of color. I was at a meeting where a representative of the Filipino community in Bayan People's Corps had a speaker there. The Salvadorian community was there. They're bringing in these speakers. Dave, I think this is excellent. Could you speak to that?
Thank you.
question about the visibility of this struggle. Paraphrasing, many listeners to KPFK actually do not know that there's this kind of struggle going on. How can the visibility be raised? Should there be a public challenge to people like Mark Cooper, Mark Chubb, to a public debate? The questioner is actually asking, how can the visibility of this struggle be elevated? Many of us do come into contact with listeners who are a little bit unaware of the real profound struggle. Go ahead.
Well, actually, last October, management promised that they would debate. And they went back on that promise. They promised it on the air. And I think that it's something that, you know, that we should be demanding. Other than, I mean, you might have other ideas. Pardon me? Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't think they're really willing, but they did say that. And so, you know, people may be able to force them to be accountable to that. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. We have about five more minutes of questions here. Yes, go ahead. Thank you very much. He's at the book fair. Okay, thank you. That was a violation of my instructions. I'm not supposed to go to the audience. Let's see. The official... However, I must say here that I think maybe it would be better, because many of these questions are kind of generic and repetitive. Maybe we should go to some final comments in the last 5 minutes from the panel. Just going down any reflections people might have. I have a couple of announcements while they're thinking about that. There's someone in the audience who has the recording of the tape that you mentioned in your presentation, John Summers. Raise your hand, John. He just left. Okay, he left his name and number. It's the recording that Dan mentioned in his presentation. Verna Avery Brown, would you like to kind of end up with kind of like, where do we go from here? How do we organize? Inspirational words? Is the answer no? No.
I would just add this to what she said. I would just... I would, except I'd have to check with some folks back in Washington before I did that, some short people. I would just add that I think that really I think that you have to draw from a lot of the suggestions that are being made. I don't think there's any single solution or any silver bullet, if you will, that's going to take us out of this crisis. I think that the suggestions with withholding the pledges is an excellent one. I think that there's a station, I believe in Madison, WORT, that has been actually withholding their rent, so to speak, for Pacifica. And even though they feel as though they're putting their money in escrow, and even though they feel as though this, there's one tiny station and won't make a bit of difference, I believe that if more stations and affiliates across the country were to do this, this would really get the attention of this management, which I happen to believe that is basically the song that they understand. I mean, they are about money. And any way that you can impact upon that, as John said, you know, the bottom line, they worship the bottom line. You know, I happen to agree to that. And I think that should be a strategic part of any struggle, in addition to the direct action. And sort of in your face, we're not going to tolerate this, any type of tactics like that. I mean, I don't think there's a miracle cure. But I think that at some point we need to heal this institution. And if every one of us leaves this room today fully committed to doing what he or she can do towards that end, I think that will begin to make an impact. We can't just leave it for someone else to do. So search your heart and your mind and figure out what you can do to get your point across. And then do it. And then participate in coalitions like this. And just become active. Those are my comments. Dan, Laura.
And before we go to Dan, if you have this pledge on hold, they're asking you to fill it out completely with all the information and turn it in. And it's one way to put financial pressure without without actually saying, I'm not pledging to KPFK, I'm just withholding. So if you have this, fill it out. Dan?
Yeah, 2 points. First of all, just in all of our work, we have to remember that Pacifica is a national network. Here in Los Angeles, we think of KPFK, or in San Francisco, KPFA, KPFT in Houston, WPFW in Washington, and WBAI in New York. But this is a national problem that requires a national solution, and we have to think about that very seriously over the months and years ahead. And secondly, I would just like to, again, to thank the ad hoc committee for organizing this event, for inviting us from the East Coast. We really appreciate it. It's great. Thank you all for coming down. And
well, I would say there's a few basic things. One is to support the Stringer strike, because we need to have an alternative newscast to PNN. We need to have also a place for the workers who are no longer on principle contributing to PNN to continue to make a living, or something pretending to be something like a living. So support the Stringer strike so that they can make that show a daily show. I think that would be great. The other thing is that this crisis didn't come from nowhere. And I know that when we began in New York to realize what was happening, it was already in many ways too late. And it was largely too late because we had been not paying attention to who was on our local advisory boards. Many of us didn't even know the structure of the organization that we claimed to care about. We didn't go to the public meetings. We didn't make ourselves heard. This can happen. This kind of a shift in direction and in tone and in style and in aspiration can happen at any one of a number of the organizations that you work with and that you care about. There's not just Pacifica. There are many community media, whether it's your local alternative newspaper, which I know you have a problem with here, whether it's a micro radio station, whether it's a community station that you care about that maybe you only go and hear when you're out of town. You need to support the alternative media that exists now so that they will be there tomorrow, and you need to pay attention to the structural situation with the organizations that you care about. And I actually heard, I think it was you, Don, say that people should continue to populate the station. I think that's important. As somebody who has left and taken a job somewhere else, I'm going to tell you to go back to populate the station. No, I think it's important for us to remain a presence in these stations, to not be marginalized. Some people have said that what they want to do is lose the supporters like you. They don't want your money, they don't want your voice, they don't want your labor, so that they can do what they're doing. And hard as it is to walk into a place that's telling you they don't want you, I think there is something to be said for continuing to occupy that station. Mm-hmm. And they can't... Can they throw out volunteers? I don't know if you can throw out volunteers. Well, striking is different. These were workers for the Pacifica Network News who would be paid. Exactly. It's two different things. I mean, we have to be clear. One is volunteering for the institution that you can retain your ownership of, or at least claim, continue to assert it. The other one is doing a job for people who are treating their workers badly. That's a different matter. So that's what I have to say.
We put together information packs, and if you can, take them as you leave today. There's a lot of paperwork out there. It's an indication, and we didn't get everything that we wanted into those information packs, and we have to be better versed with those information packs. There's a lot of information. This thing is very complicated. It gets very complex in terms of the multifaceted nature of this whole thing, the history of Pacifica, what it's supposed to be about, and everything else that goes along with it, whether it be the local advisory boards, the national level, the local level, and what is to be done, whether it be governance, whether it be programming, the relationship between demographics within a signal area to the so-called entitlement of that type of demographics and how that relates to programming. There's a lot that needs to be worked out here in the area. Locally, we have to, again, be more politically mature and be able to work with each other and recognize our strengths and weaknesses. If you cannot, if you're not a people person, don't come to strategizing and organizing meetings. Work at the best you can in terms of offering analysis and things like that. and don't drive other people away. That's a commonsensical thing you can do. We need to do that with each other because right now we outnumber them and we are more complex in terms of look at those information packs out there of the testimony of how complicated this thing is. KPFK management and the supportive staff are very simple in their response and very simple in their thought and behavior of how they respond. It's mostly lies and it's mostly spin. So we can take that as you see it as in terms of a pattern. So when you go with that, and we have to work with the IMC and the micro radio movement. These people are already moving and they're doing it. Pacifica now has to relearn its own roots and what's going on now here in 2000. So we have to do that, too, at a national, local, and international level with this stuff. I'm learning a lot from micro radio stations, from the student strikers at UNAM. The Zapatistas still use micro radio when they have alerts within their communities. This stuff is still going on, and it's vital. So it's complicated with what we're doing. We're going to bury the first phase of this LA Coalition for Free Speech Radio and start again with the same name and just take out all the political baggage and go from there. You have to be smarter with it. I'm going to the Bay Area to meet with people regarding what's going on at KPFA tomorrow and also nationally with the National Alliance. So that's something that's developing, too. It has to be, like Dan said, it has to be national. It also has to be local in terms of the specific nuances of each signal area.
For Robin.
There's one in East L.A. on every Friday, Saturday, Sunday nights on 104.7 FM, and it's Radio Clandestina. We're 8 p.m. to 2 a.m. right now, and the FCC proposal to legalize low-power FM, if you don't know about it, I have some info packs. It's a farce. It's not going to happen in the major metropolitan areas. There's not enough room for what they want. They want now, I think, even third channel protection on both sides of the slot where you want it. So it's impossible. It's for major metropolitan areas, but it is possible for rural areas. But micro radio is there. And even if the FCC comes knocking, when they do come knocking, we're not going away. We're going to be the micro radio station for also the D2K demonstrations here in L.A. in August.
Great. Great. Thank you. Robin, do you have a...
Yeah, okay. I just want to say something real quick. There, the green sheets that you have that ask people to contribute to Free Speech Radio News, I want to urge you to contribute. But also, on the other side, there's some phone numbers of David Acosta, who's the incoming chair, Mary Frances Berry, and Bessie Wash. And it would be very helpful if they got flooded with phone calls asking them to negotiate with the Pacifica reporters who are on strike. Then there's one other thing. There are people in the newsroom at KPFK who have actually been scabs. They've been reporting for Pacifica. And this is not an organized action, but I think that you guys should call them and urge them not to do that because we're fighting for them to be able to be free to report whatever they want.
Great, great. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're just minutes away from the end, but one more thing. The ad hoc committee is going to ask Art Kunkin to make a quick announcement.
I want to thank the ad hoc committee for letting me announce that the Daily Free Press will appear during the Democratic National Convention. I'm working with the Independent Media Committee to produce six issues, which will have articles from the organizations in Los Angeles and a calendar of protest activities. And we're having a meeting next Saturday, 3 o'clock, at the Peace Center. And I'd like to remind you that the L.A. Free Press, the first issue appeared under the auspices of KPFK, and it was meant to be a printed complement to the radio station, and it's continued all during the years to be that. And one of the ways of making this issue that we're discussing today visible is to have a real alternative paper in Los Angeles that's reporting this kind of news. So next Saturday, 3 o'clock.
Right. Well, hand me that, Tracy. We already announced that. Okay, I'm just going to close this with many, many thanks. I want to, first of all, one moment, let me just, I want to thank the ad hoc committee. They stood earlier. We deeply appreciate what you did. It was wonderful. Thank you so much. And we have a special thanks. Even though he wasn't here, his very moving statement, Larry Bensky from KPFA, Laura Flanders, Dan Coughlin, Verna Avery Brown, Robert Yurovich, John Martinez, thank you so much. And then also, Frank Stoltz. And Compañero Edelman. That's right. Wait, excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm starting to get rattled here, and I don't want to do that. The other thing we... Yes, David Adelman. Edelman. David Edelman. Okay, thank you. Let's end with the listeners united will never be defeated. The listeners united will never be defeated. The listeners united will never be defeated. Thank you so much for coming. It was a wonderful event. Oh,